This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The Boston Celtics have a chance to win the Eastern Conference Finals Series against the 76ers tonight in Philadelphia. The Celtics are up 3-2. They're favored to win the series, but the younger, more physical 76ers aren't going quietly.
Only a Game host, Bill Littlefield, who joins us every Wednesday to talk about sports, is out this week. So here in his place is Doug Tribou, who will be sitting in the big chair this weekend. Welcome back, Doug.
Thank you, Meghna.
So the Celts keep showing us that they've got what's necessary to beat the 76ers, but Philly's really managed to keep the series close. What do you think the Celtics have to do to put it away?
Well, aside from winning tonight, which would be the best solution.
That's very Bill of you.
They definitely need to sort of exert their will. They've shown in just about all of the games that they can get a big lead. It's just a matter of staying focused and hanging on to it. And I think they need to get into that mindset early on in the game and not try to win it in the second half or come alive in the second half. They need a 48-minute performance.
Doug, do you think, is this a case of the more experienced and older Celtics not taking this younger but still talented 76ers as seriously as they should?
It does sort of seem like that, but I think it's a combination of things. The Celtics have never been great in these closeout moments. They've dragged a lot of series out and ended up winning a lot of series, but they haven't really ever been the kind of team that's sweeping teams left and right. And the 76ers are riding the high of beating the Bulls. So I think it's really just a combination of those two things. And the Celtics just have to kind of exert their strength tonight.
And so we're at the tail end of what is a shortened NBA season, of course, because earlier this season there was a player lockout. And that has to do something as well with a piece you're putting together for Only a Game this weekend, Doug, about the short history of abbreviated sports seasons in general. So what are you learning about this?
Well, I got intrigued by the idea of these titles that come after odd seasons. The 1998-9 NBA season only had 50 games. This year's season had 66. And I've been looking at all sports, and we looked at baseball. The 1981 season was interrupted. They had a weird playoff system. I talked to Ron Say of the Dodgers, who was on that team. And, of course, the players don't think it's it deserves an asterisk, but historians view it differently. There are scars on the rows of stats. There are scars on the history of the game. So we're going to be looking at a lot of different things, football, basketball, baseball. We talk to athletes, we talk to historians, we talk to reporters, and I think it'll be an interesting story.
Doug, you mentioned the San Antonio Spurs, who won the NBA title back in 1999. They're in the playoffs this year. There's a chance they could win another championship, another shortened season, which would give them another asterisk.
I think that they're a favorite right now. They're so hot. They've won 18 games in a row. They swept their last series. And they have been so good. I think the consensus is even if they win again, no asterisk. It's just a franchise that's just been on a tremendous run for a decade or more.
Okay, so moving on to another sport. Much to Anthony's chagrin, it's been weeks since we've talked about the Red Sox on Radio Boston.
There hasn't been much to talk about, let's be honest.
Exactly, because the last time we did, they were in a very dizzying free fall. And they're still in last place in the AL East. But hey, the big news is that lately they're actually winning more than losing. They won 7 of their last 10. So what's going on?
They're finally finding their form. I mean, teams with lineups like the Red Sox lineup and the talent that they have are bound to win a few games eventually. And they definitely have sort of hit their stride. And they're starting to come alive, starting to see some great performances at the plate. They're getting Kevin Youkilis back, which hasn't been a big aid yet. But when you have the problem of where to put Adrian Gonzalez in the outfield or at first base, that's a good problem to have on offense. So I expect that the Sox are going to only improve from here.
One of the big stories, one of the big turnarounds, at least in the last few weeks, is the bullpen. They were leaking runs like a sieve, and now they're doing a pretty good job.
Absolutely. Alfredo Aceves, Scott Acheson, and Andrew Miller have pitched a little more than 8 innings in the last 7 games, and they haven't let up a run. So when you have that combined with Josh Beckett going 7 innings or more in his last 2 starts and looking like the Josh Beckett of old, that's the recipe for success. They need more of that.
So I've got to ask you about your favorite team, the Yankees. There's still this great rivalry.
It's been good talking with you, Anthony.
So there's this great rivalry, as we know, Boston, New York. Now they're battling it out for last place in the American League
still
East.
Still a rivalry.
I know. These teams can't stay away from each other. They're neck and neck for the bottom of the AL East. It looks like the standings are upside down. Baltimore's at the top. The Yankees and the Red Sox are at the bottom. And the Yankees are just struggling mightily at the plate. They are having a terrible time of it on offense. Alex Rodriguez, Curtis Granderson, Mark Teixeira, Derek Jeter. None of them is hitting higher than .217 in the last six, seven, eight games. It's really been very ugly.
Well, I just can't tell you how sad that
makes me. Anthony's crying a river over there. Well, finally, Doug, one last thing. You've been looking at how professional sports teams identify themselves. I mean, we here, of course, have the Boston Red Sox, the Boston Celtics, the Boston Bruins, and the New England Patriots. And I guess there are other teams around the country that have recently switched identities from city to state or region.
Well, of course, we all remember when the entire state of Florida got behind the Marlins and get behind the Marlins and root for them. So this year, the Marlins became the Miami Marlins. Next year, the New Jersey Nets will become the Brooklyn Nets. And so we're just kind of looking at how these teams are not sort of marketing to as many regions. There's a very good chance that the Golden State Warriors will move to San Francisco and they could return to being the San Francisco Warriors, which they were years ago. That might happen. So we're just kind of going to look at how teams make those decisions and when it makes sense. You have the Carolina Panthers, and a lot of people would be hard-pressed to say which Carolina the Panthers play in. Same for the Hurricanes.
I'm pretty sure it's either north or south, right?
That's correct. And of course, we're waiting to see what happens when a pro sports team lands up in one of the Dakotas. We'll have to sort it out.
Do you have a sense that this is very sort of ticket sales driven in terms of the decision making behind why to go from city to state or region or backwards?
I think it is. I think you see this interesting dichotomy. Do they want to attract fans from all over, or do they need to sort of have that city pride? You know, the Angels went from the California Angels to the Anaheim Angels, to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and, you know, as a way of competing or trying to vie with the Dodgers. So obviously the teams take it very seriously. The heritage teams have a harder time changing. I don't think you're going to hear the Boston Red Sox become the New England Red Sox anytime soon.
Interesting. Doug Tribou, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's Doug Tribou. He'll be hosting NPR's Only a Game, which airs every Saturday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. right here on WBUR. Bill Littlefield will be back next week.